Today is a heavy day. It's a difficult time for us as a congregation, as a community. I think of the birthdays today, Vic Powell, Eric Shing. We have birthdays in the midst of difficult times. Jesus came, was born in a world full of darkness, a world full of despair, no hope, no future. And yet when that baby came, contained almost as a seed, full of promise, all the answers to all our questions became real. And once that baby was born, there was no turning back. God's answer had been given, and His word would stand forever. This is the season that we're celebrating, the season of Advent. We're looking at the forefathers of Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, he says that he was the son of Abraham, the son of David, Jesus Christ. This morning, we are going to look at Jesus, the son of David. Let us read together from Acts chapter 13. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, He led them out of that country. For about 40 years, He endured their conduct in the wilderness, and He overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to His people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and He gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, He made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as He promised." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word, the word that stands forever, that is firm and solid, that we can trust. I pray this morning that You would speak through Your word to us. I pray, Lord, that Your presence would be with us. I pray that as we hear Your word, I pray that as we sense Your presence, I pray that Your Holy Spirit, Lord, would move in our hearts and minds. That You would bring Your healing. Ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is preaching. He's visiting a synagogue and they invite him up to come and preach. They said, "Do you have a word for us?" He gives a short history, a short account of what God did for Israel. And then he gets to this verse 23 where he says, "From this man's descendants," now he's talking about King David, "God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as He promised." This has been God's promise from ages. This has been the promise that He would come and save this world. The promise was given to Abraham many, many years before. But now, at the time of Christ, He comes as the Savior. In that time when Jesus was born, the Romans were ruling the world. The Roman Empire was the mightiest empire we've ever seen on this planet. And the Caesar was called the Savior of Rome. Many Caesars wanted to be called the Savior of the world because they would bring peace to the whole world. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. That was the image of the Savior, the one who would bring peace, the one who would come and do what is right and what is good to the whole world. The Apostle Paul says, that person, that Savior, did not come from Rome. That was not the Caesar. That did not come from the government that was in power at that time. But that Savior was born from the line of Jesse, son of David. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you the backstory to this. The backstory to this pronouncement by Paul is the Davidic covenant. Then when God called David to be the king of Israel, He installed David as king to be a type of the kingdom that should come. To be a type of the messianic king that would come later in time. You see, David wasn't a king like the other kings of the pagans and of the Gentiles. David was a king who was under a king. You see, the other Gentiles, other nations had a king that was the person with no one higher than them. The person who ruled absolutely. But when David was king, he was king under the kingship of God Himself. And that's the type of king that God was going to install. Because God would not install a king who would just do whatever they pleased. But He would install a king who would do what He pleased. That's why He says, David was the man after My own heart, because he would do what I want him to do. When God installed David as king, He made a covenant with him. He made a promise to him and said, David, there will be a descendant from you who will be on the throne forever and ever. Now, maybe David thought that there would be a descendant and a descendant and a descendant, and maybe he thought that his family line would just be kings forever. But it turns out that God's promise was that there would be one person who would come from David, and that one person would sit on the throne forever. That is the person of Jesus Christ. Not only would He sit on the throne at this time, but He would also sit in the future. So for us, still coming, the future of the planet, and He would bring peace on earth. I want to read Just a short passage here from the book of Micah. As you know, Micah is a prophet. He's looking forward and he's prophesying. He says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." This one who will be born in Bethlehem will rule to the ends of the earth. Yes, He starts off as the Savior of Israel. Yes, He comes as a person in the line of David, being born as an Israelite. But His rule and His reign is to the ends of the earth. It's not just over Israel, but it is over the whole of humanity. And He will be their peace. The peace did not come from the Caesar, did not come from Rome, but the peace will come from this descendant of David, who will rule the whole world. We look forward to that day when Christ comes again. Not as a baby like He did the first time, but coming as a king to take His place and to rule in a way that we can see and experience physically. We are living in the time now of the already and the not yet. You see, already Christ is king. When He was raised from the dead, He ascended on high, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. The right hand doesn't mean a space. It means a position of authority, a position of government. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. But from there will come a day when He will come back to this planet. And we will see Him, and He will be King, and He will rule and reign in a way that is manifested to us. So already He is King in heaven, but not yet fully manifested King here on earth. We live between His first coming and His second coming. The already and the not yet. And that is why our faith is tested. Questions being asked of us every day. Is your Jesus on the throne? Are you sure that your Jesus will come back? How do you know that He will be king over this planet? When you look around you and you see the things that are happening, senseless things, atrocious things, abominable things, deplorable things, can you still believe that He is on the throne? That He is the King? That is the testing of your faith and mine. The bad things that happen around us that grieve us remind us that it shouldn't be this way. It's not right. We know it. Deep in our souls, in our bones, we feel it. Sometimes we can't even express it in words. But we know it as sure as we know it, as sure as we know it. And the message from Micah and from all the other prophets, the promise that God had given, that He had made a covenant with David, is that it won't continue like this forever. There will come a day when this will end. It is already in motion. Already we have Jesus sitting on the throne. The motion has started and it cannot be stopped. The day will come when Christ will return as King. When all these things that shouldn't happen won't happen anymore. When all the wrongs in this world will be put right by Christ. Two things that are problematic for us. The first thing we do is we have a lament. When things happen, things unforeseen and things that shock us and shake us, the first thing that we do is we lament. We say, if only. If only. If only I had said this. If only I had done that. If only this person didn't do that. If only that would have happened. If only. If only. This would not have happened. I want to read us a passage from the Gospels where Jesus goes to the grave of his friend Lazarus. It says, when Mary, just the sister of Lazarus, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord Jesus, if only you were here at this time, this would not have happened. This is the human cry. This is the universal lament. When something that deeply affects us and grieves us happens, we try to find a way around it. We say, well, if only this, if only that. How does Jesus respond? It says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. His response was not to say, oh Mary, you don't have faith, you don't understand, you don't know how things work. No. He had compassion on her. He felt her pain. And he connected with her. Had empathy with her. Was deeply troubled and moved as he saw the pain that she had. That's his response. That was his response to Mary, and that's his response to us today. If we ask, if only this didn't, if only that, he sees our pain. And he enters in with us. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then says the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. He knew that Lazarus wouldn't be dead forever. But he felt the pain. He felt the anguish and he wept. His heart was broken. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Couldn't he have stopped that? See, that's always a question like that that comes along at a difficult time. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Lord, if only, that's the lament. If only you were here, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus doesn't condemn Mary for asking that question. And I don't want to condemn any of us for asking that question. But how does he answer it? With empathy. He weeps with those who weep. He mourns with those who mourn. And then he reminds everyone that he is in control of everything. The final answer to that question is life from death. The final answer, the way that he finally answers that question, is to say, Lazarus, come forth. Come out. And they take off the grave clothes and he says, let him go. We live in the already and the not yet. But let me say to you very, very clearly today that what is not yet will be, and what it's going to be is going to be life coming from death. That's how God answers the quest, the lament that we have. If only. The second thing that we do is we ask a question. We lament, we say, if only. The second thing we do is we ask a question, why? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Because we think, if I can understand why, I can process it. I can handle it. I can get over it. If I can just know why. I think this is one of those situations where we as human beings think too much of ourselves. I think that we tend to overestimate ourselves. We tend to think, well, if I understand, then I can handle this. But I don't think we can handle it. I think some things are so heavy. Some things just impact us so deeply that there's no way to handle it. Whether you know why or whether you don't know why. We as human beings just don't have that capacity to handle things that are so tremendously hurtful to us. But we do ask the question, why? And I want to read a third passage for us today. This is from the book of Job. And many of you know the story of Job, who was one of the wealthiest people around. And then God allowed Job to be attacked by the evil one. Satan came and attacked Job and his family. He lost his children. He lost his house. He lost his business. He lost everything he owned. Eventually, he even lost his health. He was in a sorry state. He was wishing to die at this point in time. And at first he was quiet, he was accepting everything, but later on it just got too much for him. And he's asking, Lord, why is this happening to me? Because he wants to understand, you see. Because he thinks, if I understand, I can handle this. And the way that God deals with him is very interesting, because God doesn't give him an answer to what he is asking. Instead, God starts to ask him a series of questions. He says, Job, do you understand this? Do you understand this? Do you understand how I made the world? Do you understand how I caused the animal kingdom to flourish? Do you understand how this works? Do you understand how that works? And of course, he doesn't. These things are too high for him to understand. Eventually, Job gets to the point where he calls out and he replies to the Lord and he says, surely, I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. And then he says this. He says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. You see, the question why wasn't answered for Job. But it was reframed to become a question of who. Who is this person that I'm dealing with? At this moment in my life where I am so dejected, where I am so down, where I am so low, who is this I'm conversing with? And it is the Lord. And when Job understands that, and when he says, when I've seen you, now I've heard of you, I knew about you, but I never knew you this close, this up close and personal, but now that I know you, now that I've seen you, I don't have to ask why anymore. I repent of asking why. I don't even know if I could understand, even if you explained it to me. These things are too high and too wonderful for me to know. But this I know. I know who's standing here with me right now. The who. Jesus Christ on the cross asked the question why. He's dying on the cross. And he calls out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? God doesn't answer Jesus. Doesn't give him an explanation. But he comes personally to him and raises him from the dead. It's the who. It's who comes to us in these moments. It is the God of life. It is the King of Kings. It is the one who loves us. That's the one who comes to us. God didn't answer Job on his why. He didn't answer Jesus on his why. He might not answer you and me on our why. Lisa and I have friends in the United States who a few weeks ago lost a small child, 2.5 years old. Just went to bed at night, didn't wake up in the morning. Passed away just like that. Even today, the doctors don't know why. We can ask the question, why? Or we can ask the question, who? Who will be with that family? Who has taken that child to be with him? Our Father in heaven. I want to end with this. King David was taken from the sheep. He was a shepherd. The youngest of 7 sons. God raised him up to be king. Jesus Christ self-identifies with being a shepherd. Saying, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The one who lays his life down for you and for me is the one who deeply, deeply cares for us. Is the one who takes us by the hand and would walk with us through any and every storm we might face in this life. The one who is willing to lay his life down for you and for me is the one who is willing to keep us safe with him. Sometimes the storms of life will hit us. Sometimes we will feel the effects like we do at this time. But during those storms, the shepherd will keep us safe. The shepherd will keep us close because that is the who. It is Jesus. The good shepherd will take care of you and of me. Let us pray. Father God, at times like these we want to lament and we say, if only. At times like these we want to ask the question, why? But I pray, Lord, that Your presence would surround us. Your presence would fill us. And we would reshape the question as to who. Who is with us? Who is holding us in His hands? Who is spreading out His wings over us? Who is shielding us from the storm at this time? It is our loving Father. It is our Good Shepherd. It is the One who gave His own life for us. And so, Lord, we place our trust in You. And we ask that at this time that You would bring healing to us. That You would protect us. Lord, that Your peace would come into our hearts and our minds. Come and take care of Your sheep, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.